I thought I fixed that. A lot of the churches in Madison County and around us are going back today to what we've been doing for a while, but I've been keeping them on my hearts and minds because I know as a pastor how difficult it is to make those next steps and reopening. And so just keep those churches in your prayers today as they step into new waters for them. And thankfully, we're kind of in those waters. And so praise the Lord. God has been so faithful to protect and keep us safe. And so are you all excited? Today is a great day. Yes, I've been thrilled to share with you your faithfulness. And today we're going to kind of take a different direction. I hope that most of you really got a hold of Daniel and can go away and say, I really get Daniel. I get what it's about. I get what it means. And I get how it speaks to me today. And so I hope that is the truth for you this morning. But we're going to move into Galatians, and if you want to know how to read in the next couple of weeks, just keep reading chapter 4. And if you want to know where chapter 4 or why chapter 4 is where it is, read chapter 1, 2, and 3. If you look at 1, 2, and 3 of Galatians, you'll see that Paul was pretty rough on the people there. And so we're not going to be pretty rough. We're going to head into 4 where we start to see some new things, but also start to see what it means to truly be authentic in our walk and faith with the Lord. And so we're going to start in chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And so if you have that, if you would head there and also rise for the reading of God's word this morning. Now, I love this, and most of our translations obviously say different things, but when you're an heir of something, what does that mean? Think about it and what it means to you. If you're an heir of something, you are going to receive something. You are going to be lifted up. You are going to be gifted upon. You're going to be blessed. And so right here, the way that Paul starts this, now remember, he's been kind of beating up the people, and this is speaking to Christians. This is not outside. This is not speaking to non-Christians. But now we see this transition in the way Paul is speaking, and he begins to speak to the people as heirs of the kingdom of God. And all that comes with that. And so today, you should really be excited about the words that Paul is going to speak here. My point is this, heirs. Don't you like that? You should chuckle a little bit, right? Paul's like, okay, I just beat you up. And so, but now guess what? You're part of the kingdom. You're heirs. And so we're going to get with this. And so my point is this, heirs. As long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property, but they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, do you get that? When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Now, church, hold on to this, because this is where God really challenged me this week and the last week as I began to read this over and over and over again. This is key here. So, and because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Is that where you find yourself most days? Crying out, Abba, Father. And we're going to talk in the next couple of weeks of how that goes back to the way in which Jesus cried out to his Father. Church, this is deep. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Today, God, we just come before you. God, let us understand our sonship, our daughtership in the kingdom of God. God, today, let us understand what the words that Paul means for us. God, let us get it today. Let us stand with you today in power. God, let us stand in dignity. God, let us stand in a way that's different because, God, we stand with the Almighty God. We pray today, Lord, that we would let go of those things that continue to bind us. God, if we would allow ourselves, we know today that those things that bind us, those immaturities, those things that are elementary, God, they have been with us for a long time. No matter who's been in our life, Lord, they've been with us and they've been holding us down. And so today, in the name of Jesus, let us let those things go and go forward, God. Let us say, no longer are we going to stay in elementary school, but God, we're going to stand and move with you and go forward and say, we want more. And so today, Lord, let us see that there is more. God, let us see today that you're stepping us into new days, Lord, into new strength, into new power, into new understanding. Today, Lord, let your Spirit wash on us today. Let it wash, let it move, let it empower. And so today, God, let us hear and see your words differently. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So authenticity. That's a word that I've often spoke of the last couple of years. In fact, in my doctoral program, we talked a lot about authentic leadership. So what does it mean to be an authentic leader? Well, it means, and you'll see how this all ties together, to be who you are. Meaning who you are is who you are. So if you come into my home, it's the same person as if you come into my office. Does that make sense? And so sometimes when I argue with my wife, you're going to see me at home argue with my wife. Am I mean? Am I hateful? No, but guess what? We argue sometimes. And so I'm not going to hide that from you. Have you ever been married to a strong-willed, powerful, spiritual woman? Well, I am. And I'm glad for it. And I appreciate it. And some days I might not admit that I appreciate it, but there's other days where I admit that I genuinely appreciate that. But church, we need to be authentic believers. If we're not somewhere, then let's not say we're there. Daniel didn't say where he was. He, through his actions, lived out who he was, where he was in the moment. And so, church, we're going to kind of lead from that. And today, most of us could admit that we're not fans of unauthentic people. Right? We're never a fan when we understand one person one way, and then we find out that they're not who we thought they were. In fact, it crushes the church. That happens in the life of many churches, and then it just crushes them because their eyes are fixed on people instead of Jesus. The key about Daniel was he never looked this way for his fulfillment. He always looked this way. Paul did not look, he looked. And church, we can no longer, we have to. And see, that's where true stability comes from. That's where understanding who we are in Christ comes from. And that helps us be authentic people of God. And so authenticity is kind of the groundwork of where we're going to be in the next couple of weeks. So let's kind of just get a grasp of what's happening here, since we're not going to move from chapter 1, 2, 3 to 4. And I don't, if you notice, I like to take full places in the Bible and preach those so we get a full understanding. I'm not one to kind of pull out. And so we're going to be here for a while, for a couple of weeks. But we have to know that he has spent a while writing those poor old people of Galatians. And so it's been a journey for them, but all of a sudden he flips his language. He begins to talk differently here in chapter 4. He also reminds the people that the locus of their faith is found in the depths of their heart. It's a place that only you and God know about. We may think we know, but much of what's inside of your heart is not known to those that are next to you. It also is the locus of sin, grace, and faith. Paul begins to show concern, meaning he's concerned about the people and where they are spiritually. Paul reminds the Galatians of how moving away from the law is actually moving into freedom with Christ. What's fascinating here is that we got to remember this is early on in the church, and so there's so many battles, even in the minds of people, to step away from the law and receive Jesus. Yet we know that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, but sometimes it's easier to say that than to genuinely believe it. Because as humans, it's easy to order out a bunch of laws and just say, I'm going to follow those laws. In fact, many denominations set it up that way, so that we look at laws and we look at rules, and then before you know it, as the years go on, we develop laws based on those years instead of based off the scripture and the words of Jesus Christ. In fact, this morning, I was talking to somebody this morning about the Catholic Church, and my family kind of keeps me abreast of what's happening, and there's just some sad things happening on the east side of the country when it comes to the Catholic Church, and part of it is they have taken on things over the years that they can't uphold because it's not founded in the Bible. And that's a hard statement to say. But here we have to know as well that Paul is beginning to help us understand, and women, you know this better than I do, and I did not know this until I had children, but the labor that goes along with birthing children, whether a C-section or whether natural birth, is difficult, right? Ladies, you should just say amen. If you had a good pregnancy, you're just saying that. You know what I'm saying? Because you forgot about it. But if you were in it today, you'd say, I didn't forget. And so if you were in it today, you'd be saying a little bit differently. But what's interesting here is when you look at the translation, Paul is actually saying that as we transition and move into being a new believer, a new creation, there was a struggle there. Meaning there was a struggle that Christ went through in order to get to the excitement of the new birth on the other side. Church, there is a struggle of getting to the other side of salvation. There is a giving up. There is a letting ourselves release what is before us. And so he begins to relate that to the same as true childbirth. He also says something interesting in the beginning here. In fact, the way that it's worded is a little confusing. He all of a sudden uses language like slavery, which is a real hot topic right now. And think about the way he speaks to it. He speaks to being enslaved to elementary principles. And I think today, if we think about inequality, if we think about racism and all of that, I feel like those that are racist are holding on to elementary understandings of human beings, especially if you're a Christian and you're racist. You are not holding on to what Jesus sees as equality. And here we find this same language brought about by Paul, saying if you're holding on to the law that's outside of Jesus, then you're actually holding on to elementary thoughts. Now, many of you will say, well, I have been with my children the last couple of months, and some of you during coronavirus and all of that. I tried to help my daughter some on my day off, and I would say to my wife quickly into it, honey, you're going to have to come and do this. I have no idea this new math and all that. And she would come in and she would help. And so let's not think of it like that, because I don't know that many of us could pass elementary school again if we had to, right? Is that okay? I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. The new math, and you teachers would have to help me get through that. But I want you to think about immaturity here. What's fascinating, though, is we're going to get through this, and I'm going to tell you there's some immaturity that's maybe not worded well, but that we need to keep, okay? So we'll get there. All right, so let's go to elementary. What does elementary mean? Well, it's basic here. Paul is basically setting out the basics. He's saying you are still enslaved. You're still in bondage. You're still holding on to earthly mindsets instead of the fullness of God. It's talking about being dependent on other humans' understanding of God. Now, church, for pastors to preach is, it's hard. Because I'm saying to you, you should be holding on to your own understanding of God as the Spirit moves in your life beyond me, beyond your Sunday school teacher. The only way you have that is if you're in prayer, if you're in the Word, if you're a faster, I could go on and on, but you need that. You need more than what the humans can bring to you. You need what only the Spirit can bring to you. And so, church, today we have to let go of looking at elementary here also means remaining bound to regulations of mankind rather than the boundlessness of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is boundless. There are things that when we meet him, he's going to look at us, and I don't believe it's going to keep us from heaven, but he's going to look at us and say, Joe, I thought you were going to... I had set out a path for, didn't you hear me when I, and I think all of us are going to, because guess what, church, if you can just be real with yourself, there's God's best, and then there's our best in relation to his best. And most of the time we look at our best in relation to his best, and we go somewhere in the middle. It also means that we remain under the legal yoke of slavery, meaning there is sin that still enslaves us. And here's the thing, as Nazarenes, we believe it's the willful transgression against the known will of God. That's different. You know what it does? It makes it personal to you today. As God speaks to you, I can't dictate what he's speaking to you. I can only speak truth from here, and where it goes from there, I don't know. I hope it goes to your hearts, your ears, and your minds. But if he has you somewhere and he's saying, Joe, I need you too, and I say you're not today, then that is a sin for me. I'm prolonging my acceptance of his will. Not only his will, but his will for me. And that's where it becomes personal. People say, well, isn't this a sin? Well, yeah, I believe there are some things in the Bible that are just, they're just there. We know it. It's said over and over again. Even society believes it. So yes. But then there's some of you, think about it. Some of us who still live in bondage to those things that are willful transgressions against your known will of God. And some of it has to do with you holding on to the elementary things of the faith and not stepping into the maturity that God's called us to. I believe this wholeheartedly. In fact, the word tells us that sometimes we're a stumbling block to others. And the scripture tells us that those that are a stumbling block are worse than the rest. Meaning you know and you still, and then somebody else behind you, y'all better hold on to yourselves. It's why I didn't work, right? Why I didn't want to accept the call to be a minister, because I didn't want to be a stumbling block to you and you discovering your fullness in Christ. Authenticity, what does it mean? Well, it means approaching God with the disciplines birthed out of the ministry and life of Jesus Christ. You can say, well, I'm holding on to the Old Testament law. That's good. Jesus embodied that and he said more. You say, well, wait a minute, because see, most of us think if we hold on to the Old Testament law, you don't want to sit down with me because I've gone through a class on the Old Testament law, because I'm pretty sure that not one of you are holding on to it. I'm pretty sure that yesterday you already let it go and you didn't know it. Are you with me? If you know anything about the Sabbath and what you're supposed to do on the Sabbath, which was yesterday in the Old Testament, it's today here, the day that we honor and worship God. Whew. It also means that we are intended to have a father-child-like relationship with Jesus Christ. And see, what happens is we don't even know it, but because of earthly fathers and some of the negative examples that they give out, because they're human, we associate God the Father with human father. Well, if we do that, none of us will make it. Why? Because none of us men here, as good and as holy as you are, have set out the example that Jesus set out. And so today we have to look at God the Father as our Father. Then we have to look at Jesus as the living example and understand that and live that out. Authenticity means that we start to act as though we are daughters and sons of the King. Meaning we're heirs of the kingdom. Paul said, all right, guys, I'm done beating you up. You are heirs. Meaning you receive the inheritance of the kingdom of God. And I want to just so say two things here, and you can look this at home or whatever you want to do, but there is something to this that I want you to get. Remaining authentic means that you continue to have an infant-like thought pattern when it comes to sin. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, Paul was saying here to stay like an infant when it comes to sin. When someone says to you, you don't know what that means, that's good. Because that means you've allowed sin not to. Well, what do you mean by an infant? Well, infants don't understand sin. They don't see it like we do. Is it until they start to understand? But if we remain infant-like in relation to sin, it means that that stuff is not a part of who we are. But then on the other hand, we need to be like an adult, like Jesus in our maturity and understanding of who Jesus is in his ministry in order to get away from the elementary things of the faith. Y'all still with me here? Okay, so what's interesting here is that this whole scripture, so this is setting us up for this whole chapter here, for what all that Paul is going to say. And he's saying to us, you need to understand what it means to be a sent people, what it means to hold on to the fullness of God. Church, when we hold on to the fullness, what does that mean? It means right now, and I'm being dead serious, as we go further into God's plan, we have to go further away from the enemy and his elementary thinking. We've got to start saying to ourselves, this is a thought that's not of God, and this is a thought that is of God. We've got to start getting to the basics and saying, you know what? I can't even think like that anymore. I can't allow myself to be defeated like that anymore. Paul was saying, rise up, you are heirs of the kingdom. Church, we are heirs of the kingdom of God. We are heirs of his presence. We are heirs. We are embodiment. Paul was saying, get rid of that. Let your mind be like an infant when it comes to sin, but forget about elementary school. You don't want to go back there. And he said, if you want the fullness, which is pleroma, which fills, to make completely full, you've got to realize that Christ has come. He hasn't come in an issue in your life so he can come tomorrow in it, and then the next day in it, and then the next day in it, and then the next day in it. That is holding on to the elementary things, which means you're not holding on to the fullness of who God desires to be in you. It also means there's an authority present. This is where it gets touchy, because we don't like authority. In fact, the easiest finger to point to is authority, especially in the church. Point straight to the pastor, because you can deflect everything of your elementary lives and point it straight to the pastor. And I put up the shield of faith and say, point it back at yourself. Because I can't study anymore. I can't go anymore. I can't do more than what I'm doing already. And I know that in the shortness of my heart. And so all I can do is lift the shield and say, where is it in your heart that's... Because the authority is present, and sometimes we don't want to hold on to the authority. Church Christians are saying no to God daily. People leave AFC weekly and say no to God daily. Some of you already recall in your mind that you've said no to him, that you're not ready for that, that you're not gonna... Man, when we give up authority... And it's crazy that you chose that song this week. I was just thinking about that as I was preparing in my mind. Do you really live out that all authority is his? You know that's dangerous, right? So don't say yes before you mean it, because that's dangerous. Because many of you are already thinking about what that means. What that means in your attitude, in your thought patterns, in your life, in the way you are at work, in the way you are with your kids, in the way that you approach, in the way that you... See, many of us want to say a good thing is a God thing. And Paul is saying here, it does not mean that a good thing is a God thing. It does not mean that you in elementary school learning this is a good thing for you as a 41-year-old adult. It's time for you to... We also know that the fullness of his grace is here. So stop living in guilt. We also know that the fullness of his provision is here. You say, but I don't sense that, feel that, I'm not experiencing that. Then look back on your life. Look back on your decisions. Look back on where God might be saying, hey, not here. Also, and I want you to think about this, the full period of the Son not being present on earth is complete. Well, what do you mean? There was a long period of time before Jesus came onto earth where he was not present on earth. Church, you could just get up tomorrow and every day from there and say, thank you, Jesus, for being present with me. Because that time has gone. And if you're living in that, then you need to say, you know what? I've got victory in Christ, because no longer is he not present with us. Oh, you say, well, wait a minute. He came and lived on earth, and you know what he said? I'm going to send my spirit to you. And guess what he did? He sent it to you. And guess what we need to do every morning? We need to remind ourselves. Paul was saying, if you're an heir, then you get to receive what an heir receives, which is the spirit, the will, the movement. See, much of our struggle is that we're not living in the fullness. And so let's look at the word sent here. Now you say, and I remember often, and I don't know if you know this name, but Dr. Stan Toler, he wrote about 100 and some books and just a great man of God. He died of cancer and just a couple of years ago, but I really followed him, listened to him, and he always talked about this idea of God sent. Well, what does that define right there? It defines the graciousness of God. It defines the idea that he sends, that we are a sent people, meaning the sending is done. He's established us as a sent people. And as a sent people, we are a gracious people. When you look at this idea of God sent his son. Now here's where it's significant. Born of a woman. This was not the original intent. Why? The son walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Church, this wasn't how God intended his son to come. But in the graciousness and goodness and love for his creation, he sent his son. Now, some of us maybe today, we may be saying, well, he didn't send him for me because I'm not ready for him. And maybe today he's prodding your heart and saying, today's the day for you to receive. See, today as we stand as his sent people, we have received what God has sent, and that is Jesus Christ. And so what do you mean here? Well, God sent, which means that it was through a spoken word. What else does it mean? Well, it means that he was sent under the law in order to bring us out of the law. The law wasn't working. It still doesn't work. In fact, churches that hold on to laws and rules above the move of the Spirit aren't vivacious churches. And why does this, and what does this have to do with authenticity? Well, it should be building in your mind that if you think of yourself as receiving that which God sent graciously, if you begin to think of yourself as a sent people, you'll be more and more like Jesus. He was sent out among. You say, well, this sounds like Christmas. It is a little bit like Christmas. In fact, Paul and a lot of the early church constantly went back to the way in which Jesus came. Unfortunately, we as Americans, we get tired of stuff. We should never get tired of the fact that Jesus, the Son, who sat beside the Father, who walked with Adam and Eve, who was in all glory and understood all of that, came and was sent for us. Stepped away from all of that. And I say this to myself all the time. You are special. Do you know why? He did not set up a plan for the angels to be redeemed. He did not set up a plan for those angels that left heaven and went with the enemy. He didn't set up a plan for them to return. And the problem with this, when we look at fullness and being sent, and this is where we have to be careful, Christians, is that they understood the fullness of who Christ was. They understood the fullness of glory, and guess what they did? They left, and God said, there is no redeeming that because they already got what it meant to be in the fullness and presence of God. And church, some of us have been there, and then we've stepped away. And that is a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be when we think of ourselves as Christians that have made it or arrived or have the best ideas or the best plans or our way or the highway. Y'all better be careful. Because the fullness is consistently and constantly being poured out on his people. It's a never-ending flow of his presence to us. He was sent as a breathing example of the new law. We are sent as breathing examples of the new law. He was sent as God's representative. He was sent to a place never intended for him to be, which was to be in the womb of a woman. And he was sent so that we could be sent into a world not intended for his saints. Meaning he had a different picture. And guess what? He's creating a different picture. He already has a different picture of what you look like. You just don't know it. Church, he's going to give you a new body. And guess what's nice? You don't know what it looks like. You can't make it up. You can't doctor it. You can't clothe it. He's going to give it to you and say, guess what? This is the perfect you. It's So you should be excited about that, that you're going to get something new and fresh. Maybe depending on your age, you might like the way that your skin's hanging at your age, but it will hang differently in a while. Man, I feel things that I'm 41 that I thought I was like, when I was 38, I said, I'll never feel this. And then I got up yesterday and I said, why do I feel that part of my knee? I'm like, that's not supposed to have feeling, but it feels. And so anyway, think about a couple of things here as we come to the close. As a sent people, he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts to cry, Abba, Father. Now, this is where I just struggled with, and I am still struggling with today. He didn't just say he sent his Spirit to just reside in. He sent his Spirit so that we would cry, Abba, Father. Church, this is a challenge. How often do we humble ourselves enough that we're crying out, Abba, Father? How many times do we go into prayer and can't even say a word and just cry out, Abba, Father? This is where Paul went back to convicting the Galatians. You say, well, what do you mean? He built them up only to knock them right back down, just for a second. Why? Because he recognized that the people had got away from why the Spirit was sent. It was to draw us to the Father. And they thought the Spirit was sent so that every single provision, so that every single, and you fill it in. And yet Paul was like, the Spirit was sent so that you could just cry out, Abba, Father, as Jesus did. The Spirit's sent to you. And the minute the Spirit comes on to you, the minute you go to prayer, there are certain times, like last night I went to prayer and I didn't even get to pray. I just began to think about the Father in the Scripture and I started to cry. And I've been crying a lot lately. I don't really know why, but that could be 41 too, right? Is that? I'll just attribute it to that. But think about this. Paul said, people, the Spirit's not just here so you can feel full, so that you can be sent in power. The Spirit's here so the minute you call on to the Lord, you're crying out. So when we receive Christ, we become authentic people of God. We receive the full rights of being sons and daughters of God. We are now covered by the sonship of Jesus. We receive the Spirit of Jesus. We become the authentic dwelling place for the Spirit. And there's a lot of theology even in the way he wrote this. Because there's some places that if you look at dwelling place, if you look at the way it is, it actually translates as a container that overflows and continues to stay full, but overflows. And that's what he's talking about here. Then there's containers that you fill up and you seal and you... There's some containers here today that need to be filled up with elementary thoughts, thinking, things, sealed up, sent away. But here, as he says, cry out to Abba, Father, it is an overflowing of the Spirit's work in your life. It's not something that should be sealed up. It's not something that should be put away and set aside. It's something that should be overflowing and spilling out in all of who you are. He already passed the part where he said, seal that up as an elementary thought and put it aside and never go back to it again. And now he's talking about a different kind of container and saying, if you cry out to Abba, Father, you got it. You get it. You understand. You're in a humble place. When we receive the Spirit, we receive authentic fellowship with Christ. So why authenticity? Why is it so important? Why is Paul stressing here this line of thought? Well, did God's people do a really good job before Jesus came? You know, there were a lot of people, right, before Jesus came. Like a lot. Let's just think about the 2.5 million that got destroyed by the Medo-Persian army. That's just like a small example of the amount of people. And think about the people that we can name from the Bible, like Daniel and Joseph and Ruth, and I mean, we could list them probably on a couple of hands and maybe our feet of the millions and millions of people that got it right. There weren't that many. And so how did we do it being authentic people of God? Really, the Israelite nation was supposed to be the example of who God was. They didn't do that very well. And so the bottom line is, it's important that we know that we have no excuse. Church, we're past that place. Because Jesus came as the authentic, real representation of who God is. And he said, I get it. Y'all can't do it. I mean, just think about it. The world at Jesus' time was full of people who were spiritually starved and needed the real thing. The world is full of spiritually starved people and need the real thing. And the real thing sits here today. And maybe the real thing doesn't sit here today in some of these pews. And maybe God is saying, now is the time. So sorry, I had to use music again. But I want you to think about a couple of things here. Are you a people, a person, an authentic believer of Christ who just can't help and cry out, Abba, Father? Here's the problem. If you're not, you're a problem for the kingdom. Because people out there that are looking for authenticity in the church first look to you because you're not. And then they come to me and say, see, I told you. The church isn't real, authentic people of God. Now, remember what I said in the beginning. I said, you know, authenticity is saying to somebody, hey, this is where I really am. And God's got me on a journey, and this is what I'm working through right now. See, people see that differently. But when we go out and we're one thing, and then we come in and we're something else, that's not authenticity. And the world right now is loving to look at that and say, see, that's who God's people are. Man, if he saw God's people as crying out, Abba, Father, could you imagine? And so today the call is to reignite the fire within. And in order to get away from elementary things, we have to look at a couple of things. When you cry out, Abba, Father, you are crying out to the begotten one. How many of us have said that in our prayer life this week? It's been introduced to mine. Because when I looked at the translation, I realized that right away, he was talking about the begotten one. He was talking about the forefather. You know what that brings to our hearts is trust. God's been around. And he's saying to us today, and Paul was saying to the Galatians, if you'll just hold on to me for real and just cry out to me, then I'm going to speak into every other part of your life. As we cry out, Abba, Father, it also translates as the one who leads. As we just say, lead us. Hold us. He's the breath giver. Many of us think today that we have breath because our lungs are breathing it. Who taught our lungs to do that? Who set up the mind to do that? Church, it wasn't science. It wasn't some evolution. It was God the Father. Who's the one who truly encourages us? Yeah, you know, people encourage us, but guess what? Just as much as they encourage us, they tear us down. Just as much as they're for us, they're against us. But guess what? If he's for us, who can be against us? If we stand with Abba Father and we cry out every time we go to prayer, Abba Father, church, we're coming to prayer on Wednesday night, and it isn't going to be your normal prayer. We're going to cry out, Abba, Father, we want you. You're the begotten one. You're the beginning. You're the end. You're the forefather. You will lead us. Let us put aside everything that's not of you. You'll give us fresh breath. You'll encourage us. And church, we have to know that he is the author of all that is good. And outside of him, there ain't much goodness. And so I don't know where you are today. And I'm not good at altar calls or anything like that. But I don't know. If you just want a fresh work of his presence, if you would just want to be honest and say, you know what, I don't cry out, Abba, Father. I don't cry out to the begotten one. I don't cry out to the Almighty. I don't cry out to the... And maybe you just want more of that. Maybe you want to be more authentic. Then I just pray right now, Lord, that you would let the Lord breathe on you, fill you, work in you. I don't know. Let him just breathe on you. Let you go out today and say, you know what? I haven't been crying out to Abba, Father. This side of the altars, if you just want to be by yourself, use this side. If you don't and you want people to gather around you in prayer, then come over here. Or maybe you just want to come and cry out, Abba, Father. Release the thoughts of who your Father is, good or bad, and start embracing the begotten one. Start embracing the one who created a beautiful beginning, who's creating a new beginning for you, who's creating a new body for you, and begin to receive and cry out to him.